Thank you. So today I'll be talking about changes in soil organic carbon aggregates and microbial community structure in different bioenergy crops in Manhattan, Kansas. So the Renewable Fuel Standard mandates the production of 60 billion liters per year of cellulosic ethanol by 2022. The ethanol under RFS2 is required to have life cycle greenhouse gas emissions 60% below those of gasoline or diesel. Changes in soil organic carbon could have a major impact on the life cycle greenhouse gas emissions of cellulosic ethanol, as well as implications on soil quality. Crops that encourage fungal hyphal networks in the formation of macroaggregates could help with the physical protection of soil organic carbon. There are many different types of bioenergy crops to choose from, which could have different effects on the biophysical protection of soil organic carbon. So the objectives of this study were to measure the carbon stocks and long-term changes in soil organic carbon under different bioenergy crops in Manhattan, Kansas, and to determine if factors related to the below-ground protection of soil organic carbon differ between crops. And then as a side note, we're also monitoring the nitrous oxide emissions from soils in these crops so that we can try to develop a total carbon balance. So this experiment was part of a long-term study started in 2007 in the Kansas State Agronomy North Farm in Manhattan, Kansas. The soil type was Ivan Kennebec Cahola silt loam, and the study was arranged as a randomized complete block design with four replicates. All crops were under no-tillage from the beginning of the experiment, and at the end of each year, all of the standing biomass was removed from the plots. We were looking at eight different crops in the study that could be broken down into annual and perennial crops. The five annuals included continuous corn, corn in rotation with soybeans, photoperiod-sensitive sorghum, grain sorghum, and sweet sorghum, which were all in rotation with soybean. The perennial crops included switchgrass, miscanthus, and big bluestem. The first variable that we measured was root stocks, which is done down to a 120-centimeter depth. The samples were taken in 2013 during grain fill for the corn and the sorghum, or at the end of the growing season for the perennial grasses. We then separated the roots from the soil using an automated root washer. Next, we measured the microbial community structure using phospholipid fatty acid analysis. The samples were taken to a depth of 30 centimeters in September of 2013. Total lipids were extracted using a methanol chloroform citrate buffer, and the phospholipid fatty acids and neutral lipid fatty acids were then separated using a solid phase extraction column. The concentrations of the fatty acids were determined by gas chromatography mass spectrometry, and then the different groups were broken into gram-positive, gram-negative, fungi, and arbuscular mycorrhizae. We also looked at the soil aggregate distribution, the water-stable aggregate distribution. Intact soil samples were taken in the spring of 2014 to a depth of 15 centimeters. 50 grams of soil was then slaked and wet sieved into four different size fractions using the apparatus shown in the bottom left of this slide. Finally, we also measured the soil organic carbon content down to a depth of 120 centimeters. Samples were taken in fall of 2009 and spring of 2014 so that we could look at the change that was occurring over time. The soil carbon concentration of the samples was determined by dry combustion, and bulk density was taken by measuring the gravimetric moisture of subsamples taken from each core. So first we'll look at the distribution of the root stocks through the soil profile. You can see that the gray line miscanthus had significantly higher root stocks in the top 15 centimeters of the soil as compared to the other crops. And at a depth below 15 centimeters, the root stocks dropped down to levels similar to the switchgrass and big bluestem. The switchgrass and big bluestem had significantly higher root stocks at depths below 15 centimeters as compared to the annual crops. And you can see that the annual crops had a distribution substantially different from the perennial grasses. About 80% of the root stocks were located in the top 15 centimeters of the soil profile, and the levels dropped off very quickly at lower depths. And that is reflected in the total root stocks from the 0 to 120 centimeter depth. Miscanthus, big blue stem, and switchgrass all had significantly higher root stocks as compared to all of the annual crops. And as a side note, the root stocks of the perennial grasses were approximately equal to or greater than the above ground biomass that we are measuring from the past couple years on these plots. Next, we have the some of our PLFA data. Here's shown the fungi to bacterial ratio. And you can see that in the 0 to 5 depth, in the 5 to 15 centimeter depth, that the gray bar miscanthus had a significantly higher ratio than most of the annual crops in the study, which indicates that there's a relative increase in fungi compared to bacteria occurring in the surface layers of the soil. At the 15 to 30 centimeter depth, miscanthus was only greater than the grain sorghum and rotated corn. And we saw a similar trend in the NLFA biomarker for arbuscular mycorrhizae. In the top 5 centimeters of the soil, miscanthus had significantly higher concentrations of the arbuscular mycorrhizae biomarker as compared with all the other crops in the study. And then at lower depths, the concentration dropped down to levels similar to the other crops. Next, we have the water-stable aggregate distribution data. Everything that's greater, all the aggregates greater than 250 micrometers are considered to be macroaggregates, and less than 250 micrometers are considered to be microaggregates. First, we'll take a closer look at the greater than 2,000 micron size class. You can see that the miscanthus had significantly higher amounts of macroaggregates as compared to all the perennial crops. Unfortunately, we had to omit the switchgrass and big blue stem from this size class because we had some issues with the separation procedure, and we need to reanalyze those samples. At the 250 to 2,000 micron size class, both miscanthus and switchgrass had significantly higher macroaggregates than most of the annual crops. And we saw corresponding decreases in the microaggregate size classes in both switchgrass and miscanthus. Next, we have the carbon stocks at the 0 to 5 centimeter layer. We did analyze the carbon stocks at all of the layers individually down to 120 centimeters, as well as different combinations of the different layers, but we only found significant differences in the top 5 centimeters of the soil, which is the data shown here. And this is for our samples taken in 2014. You can see that miscanthus had significantly higher root stocks compared to all of the annual crops with the exception of photoperiod-sensitive sorghum. And finally, we have the rates of change of soil organic carbon, which is determined by comparing the change in carbon from the samples taken in 2009 and 2014. An asterisk above each bar indicates whether or not the rate of change was significantly different than zero. And you can see that with miscanthus, we had significantly higher rate of change as compared to switchgrass and the annual crops, and that was a significant increase in carbon. And the annual crops tended to have decreases in carbon, although that was only significant from zero in photoperiod-sensitive sorghum and the sweet sorghum. We did a contrast to test the difference in the averages between the perennials and the annuals, and we found a significant difference. And the perennials tended to sequester about 1 megagram of carbon per hectare per year, while as the annuals were losing an average of 0.5 megagrams of carbon per hectare per year. So, in conclusion, we found that the root stocks were larger in the perennials. There's evidence for greater fungi and arbuscular mycorrhizae in the miscanthus in the top layers of the soil. Both miscanthus and switchgrass tended to have more macroaggregates than most of the annuals, and perennials were sequestering soil organic carbon in the top 15 centimeters of the soil, while the annuals were tending to lose soil organic carbon. And as a side note, we've also noticed that the nitrous oxide emissions tend to be lower in the perennials compared to the annuals. And so together, all of this suggests that crop choice and residue management could have a major impact on the greenhouse gas balance of biofuel as well as on soil quality. I'd like to acknowledge Habib Diop for all of his help and guidance on this project, as well as the Soil Microbiology Lab and our undergraduate lab technicians for helping with the large quantities of samples we had to process for this study. Thank you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time. Yes. The question was if the decreases that we are seeing in macro aggregates and fungi and carbon may be related to the tillage systems. All of these crops were actually in no tillage, and so there is no difference in the tillage between the perennials and the annuals. I think that the difference is probably related to the removal of the residue. So even though they're in no-till, we were removing all of the standing biomass from the plots, and since the annuals tended to have lower root stocks compared to the perennials, and that they weren't getting any above-ground inputs of carbon, that was probably driving the decreases. And this is kind of an extreme case. Producers probably wouldn't be removing all of the residue, but it does illustrate, even with total removal of the above-ground biomass, that the grasses are still able to sequester carbon.
Yeah, because if you're using it for mining, you have to
know. Yeah. Yes.
Do you think all your results were driven by the large amount of root carbon or just root stock that you had on this campus in terms of it being like significant across the board in that 0 to 5 centimeter range or 0 to 15, whatever it may have been?
Yeah, I think that that it does indicate that there are probably much greater below-ground carbon inputs in the Miscanthus system. And we did go through great means when we were preparing the soil samples for analysis to make sure we picked out all of the visible roots. So that does, these values should represent the actual soil organic carbon and not any biomass carbon that was floating around in the samples. But I think another reason that we might be seeing increases in carbon in the Miscanthus could also be because even though we're removing all the standing biomass, the Miscanthus does start senescing pretty early in the growing season, and so it's dropping leaves, and it has a pretty good cover of leaf litter throughout the year, even though we're removing all of the standing biomass at the end. So it might be getting a little bit of protection from changes in weather and stuff because of that. Yes? Yeah, we did not include alfalfa in the study. The perennials were Miscanthus, switchgrass, and big blue stem. Yeah.
Any more questions? We have 1 minute left for more questions.
Yes. So the question was about why there might be differences in the amount of arbuscular mycorrhizae between the grasses. When you just go out and look at the plots, you can see that there's pretty big differences in the density of the grasses as well as the growth. The Miscanthus has pretty much continuous vegetative cover, and it's hard to even get a soil sample that doesn't include a big chunk of rhizome. And I think that's also reflected in our root biomass measurements. And I think even though they're all perennial grasses, the Miscanthus seems to be far outproducing the other perennials in terms of below ground biomass. Even though we didn't see significant differences, I think that might still be driving some of the differences that we're observing in the AMF biomarkers.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.